Our topic for this retreat is Paul's letters to the Thessalonians. If you wish to follow Paul's letters chronologically, I suggest you start with the letter to the Galatians, composed in 48 AD, that's 15 years only after the crucifixion of Jesus. If you've already listened to and reflected on Paul's life up to that point, then in this, what I'm presenting now, you can skip to slide number 17, which moves from 48 to the next 2 years, what Paul's life was like after writing to the Galatians. I want to treat it now as though this is just a unit on its own, so I'll be repeating from the beginning. What do we know about Paul's life up to the correspondence to the Thessalonians? We have two sources for this material. One are the letters of Paul, that's our main source. But we also, thank God, have the Acts of the Apostles by Paul's close companion and, you might say, disciple, Luke, who knew Paul well, and there's every reason to trust this historian's account of Paul's life. So what do we know about Paul? He was born, he tells us, in Tarsus. The Acts of the Apostles reads, chapter 21, I am from Tarsus in Cilicia, a citizen of an important city. According to Saint Jerome, who died in 420 AD, Paul's parents emigrated to Tarsus from Kishala in Galilee. As to the date of Paul's birth, there's no certainty, but I suggest it was something like 4 BC. In his letter to Philemon, composed in 54 AD, he talks about himself as a presbytes, an elder. And that could fit with him being born in 4 BC, which would make him in his late 50s. And the only other piece of evidence is in the Acts chapter 7, 58, where Luke refers to him at Stephen's martyrdom, which we'll come to in a moment, as a Neanias, a young man, maybe in his middle 30s. Saul, as I'm sure you know, was a Jew. He tells us in his letter to the Philippians, I was circumcised on the eighth day. In that same letter, he refers to himself as a member of the people of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew born of Hebrews. At his circumcision, he was given the name Saul. In all his letters, he calls himself Paul. Luke, in the Acts, talks about him as Saul, but he begins to talk about him as Paul only after the meeting with the proconsul of Cyprus, Sergius Paulus. That's in Acts 13:7. So did they happen to share the same family name? Or, this is quite possible, did the proconsul offer Saul patronage and allow him to use his name? This was a common practice at the time. Yes, he was a Jew named Saul. He was also a Pharisee. He studied in Jerusalem under Gamaliel, educated, he says, strictly according to our ancestral law. He inherited Roman citizenship. In 33 AD, according to Acts chapter 7, verse 58, we read, and this is the first time he enters the picture. Luke writes, "The members of the council dragged Stephen out of the city and began to stone him. And the witnesses laid their coats at the feet of a young man named Saul. While they were stoning Stephen, he prayed, 'Lord Jesus, receive my spirit.' Then Stephen knelt down and cried out in a loud voice, 'Lord, do not hold this sin against them.' And when he had said this, he died. Saul approved of their killing him." Saul seems to have been intensely zealous in persecuting the Church of God and was trying to destroy it. He claims that himself in Galatians, in Philippians, and Acts talks about it as well. And then in 34 AD, I suggest, a year after the crucifixion, Paul had this encounter with Jesus on the road to Damascus. It's spoken about three times in the Acts of the Apostles. It was so central. I'll read to you from Acts chapter 9, where Luke writes, "As Saul was approaching Damascus, suddenly a light from heaven flashed round him. He fell to the ground and heard a voice saying to him, 'Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me?' And he asked, 'Who are you, Lord?' 'I'm Jesus, whom you are persecuting. Get up, enter the city, and you'll be told what you are to do.'" In a number of times in his letters, Paul speaks about that encounter. In the first letter to the Corinthians, chapter 9, Paul says, "Have I not seen the Lord?" And in chapter 15, when he talks about all the different groups that had encountered the risen Jesus, he says, "He was seen also by me." In Galatians chapter 1, he claims, "I received the gospel through a revelation of Jesus the Messiah." That's Galatians 1. And in a little later in the chapter, "God called me through his grace and was pleased to reveal his Son." It can be in me or to me. They're both correct. "So that I might proclaim him among the Gentiles." And in chapter 9, Luke continues, "Ananias went and entered the house. He laid his hands on Saul and said, 'Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus, who appeared to you on your way here, has sent me so that you may regain your sight and be filled with the Holy Spirit.' And immediately," says Luke, "something like scales fell from his eyes and his sight was restored. Then he got up and was baptized, and after taking some food, he regained his strength. And for several days, he was with the disciples in Damascus. Then he spent 3 years in Arabia, that is, the Nabataean kingdom south of Damascus. In Galatians chapter 1, verse 17, Paul writes, I went away at once to Arabia, and afterwards I returned to Damascus. In his second letter to the Corinthians, chapter 11, Paul says, In Damascus, the governor under King Aretas guarded the city of Damascus in order to seize me, but I was let down in a basket through a window in the wall, and I escaped from his hand. In that same letter to the Galatians, Paul claims that he made a short visit to Jerusalem to talk things over with Cephas, that's Peter. And he goes on, Then I went into the regions of Syria, that's around Antioch area, and Cilicia, which is where Tarsus is, where he was born. And Paul claims, I still was unknown by sight to the churches of Judea that are in Christ. They only heard it said, the one who was persecuting us is now proclaiming the faith he once tried to destroy. And now we jump from 37, the year 37, right through to the year 46. And in that period, we know nothing about Paul. No letters, no information from Luke. So we're now in the year 46 AD, when Paul is perhaps 50. And Luke in the Acts chapter 11 says, Barnabas went to Tarsus to look for Saul. And when he'd found him, he brought him to Antioch. So it was that for an entire year they met with the church and taught a great many people. In Paul's letter to the Galatians in chapter 2, and it's told also in the Acts of the Apostles, chapter 11, Saul from Antioch visits Jerusalem with Barnabas and Silas, and he confers with Peter, James, and John concerning the conditions for accepting Gentiles into the Christian community. In 47 AD, Paul, with Barnabas, is sent on his first mission. And this is a reading from Acts chapter 13. In the church at Antioch, there were prophets and teachers. And while they were worshipping the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, Set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I've called them. Then after fasting and praying, they laid their hands on them and sent them off. So, writes Luke, being sent out by the Holy Spirit, they went down to Seleucia, the port on the coast near Antioch, and from there they sailed to Cyprus. Barnabas was in charge of a mission, and Cyprus was where his home is. So then they journey through the towns and hamlets, etc., of the southern part of Galatia. Acts 14 tells us when they arrived back at Antioch, this is my summary of it, they called the church together and related all that God had done with them and how he'd opened a door of faith for the Gentiles. And they stayed there with the disciples for some time. Now, Acts 15, Luke tells us, certain individuals came down from Judea and were teaching the brothers, unless you're circumcised according to the custom of Moses, you cannot be saved. And after Paul and Barnabas had no small dissension and debate with them, Paul and Barnabas and some of the others were appointed to go up to Jerusalem to discuss the question with the apostles and the elders. And it seems to me the evidence is that Paul, while in Antioch and before he went up to the assembly in Jerusalem, he wrote the earliest of his letters that is extant, namely the letter to the Galatians. In 49 AD, Paul, or Saul still, went up, he's been called Paul ever since he was at Cyprus. So he went with Barnabas to the assembly in Jerusalem, and the assembly decided that Gentiles could be welcomed into the community as Gentiles. They didn't have to change their culture. To help harmony in a Christian community made up of Jews and Gentiles, the council concluded that the Gentiles should follow only the instructions found in the book of Leviticus that applied to Gentiles living in a Jewish territory. They were asked to abstain from what had been sacrificed to idols, to abstain from blood and from what is strangled, and from something called here porneia, probably referring to marriage outside the laws of Leviticus. So these were not moral injunctions. They were there to help harmony, help the Gentiles, not to be kind of shocked by the kind of things they ate. And when they came together, the Gentiles were asked only to respect the feelings of the Jewish members of the community. When they returned to Antioch, Paul took Silas with him to return to Galatia. And Timothy joined them there. And they were led from Lystra, where Timothy would join them, across to Troas. And while at Troas, during the night, Paul had a vision there. There stood a man of Macedonia, pleading with him and saying, "Come over to Macedonia, help us." And when he'd seen the vision, and this occurs for the first time in Acts, we immediately tried to cross over to Macedonia, being convinced that God had called us to proclaim the good news to them. So, according to Acts 16:11, we set sail from Troas, took a straight course to Samothrace, the following day to Neapolis, and from there to Philippi. They left Philippi then and went to Thessalonica, the place that Paul is addressing these letters to. Thessalonica was a thriving city. It was the seat of the Roman proconsul of Macedonia, proud of its ties with Rome and enjoying a good deal of self-governance. It was an important centre for the cult of the Roman deities and of the emperor. There's evidence of the presence in Thessalonica of sectaries of imported mystery cults. Luke writes in chapter 17, they came to Thessalonica, where there was a synagogue of the Jews. Paul went in, as was his custom, and on three Sabbath days argued with them from the scriptures, explaining and proving that it was necessary for the Messiah to suffer and to rise from the dead, and saying, this is the Messiah, Jesus, whom I am proclaiming to you. Some of them, writes Luke, were persuaded and joined Paul and Silas, as did a great many of the devout Greeks and not a few of the leading women. We know from elsewhere in the Acts that a man called Aristarchus was one of Paul's close companions. He was a Jew from Thessalonica. And another man called Secundus, it's probable he was also a Jew. And there were also a great many of the devout Greeks. Luke is referring to those Gentiles who attended the synagogue, though they didn't have themselves circumcised. They were attracted to Judaism for its monotheistic faith, and also because in a world of confusing and conflicting religious and philosophical ideas, they found attractive the clarity of Judaism's moral code. And there were also, we're told, not a few of the leading women. But Luke goes on to tell us, but the Jews became jealous. And with the help of some ruffians in the marketplaces, they formed a mob and set the city in an uproar. While they were searching for Paul and Silas to bring them out to the assembly, they attacked Jason's house. When they couldn't find them, they dragged Jason and some believers before the city authorities, shouting, "These people who have been turning the world upside down have come here also, and Jason has entertained them as guests. They're all acting contrary to the decrees of the emperor, saying that there's another king named Jesus." Our text continues, the people, this is all happening at Thessalonica, as background to our letters. The people and the city officials were disturbed when they heard this. And after they'd taken bail from Jason and the others, they let them go. That very night, the believers sent Paul and Silas off to Berea. Brackets. So they left the Via Egnatia, which starts at the coast, and it's Philippi and goes to Thessalonica, and then across west and crosses over the sea, and then it becomes the Via Appia, going to Rome. Did Paul think that he was on his way to Rome, but was chased away from the path. Anyhow, what we know is, the very night, believers sent Paul and Silas off to Berea. That's in the hills. And when they arrived, they went to the Jewish synagogue. These Jews were more receptive than those in Thessalonica, for they welcomed the message very eagerly and examined the scriptures every day to see whether these things were so. Many of them, therefore, believed, including not a few Greek women and men of high standing. And just when the Jews of Thessalonica learned that the word of God had been proclaimed by Paul in Berea as well, they came there too to stir up and incite the crowds. Then the believers immediately sent Paul away to the coast, but Silas and Timothy remained behind. Those who conducted Paul brought him as far as Athens, and after receiving instructions to have Silas and Timothy join him as soon as possible, they left Paul there. Paul was there for a brief time, and then, Acts 18 verse 1, Paul left Athens and went to Corinth. There, Luke tells us, Paul found a Jew named Aquila, a native of Pontus, who had recently come from Italy with his wife Priscilla, because Claudius, that's the emperor, had ordered all Jews to leave Rome. Paul went to see them, and because he was of the same trade, he stayed with them and they worked together. By trade, they were tent makers. It's a bit broader than tent makers. They worked with a needle, making canvas shades for the marketplace, as well as tents and coverings for the caravans and other cloth and leather goods. Luke tells us, every Sabbath, Paul would argue in the synagogue and would try to convince Jews and Greeks, those sometimes called God-fearers, those Gentiles who attended the synagogue. Now, when Silas and Timothy arrived from Macedonia, Paul was occupied with proclaiming the word, testifying to the Jews that the Messiah that they hoped for, the Messiah was Jesus. When they opposed and reviled him in protest, he shook the dust from his clothes and said to them, "Your blood be on your own heads. I'm innocent. From now on, I will go to the Gentiles." Then he left the synagogue and went to the house of a man named Titius Justus, a worshipper of God. His house was next door to the synagogue. Crispus, the official of the synagogue, became a believer in the Lord, together with all his household. And many of the Corinthians who heard Paul became believers and were baptized. One night, the Lord said to Paul in a vision, "Don't be afraid. Speak and do not be silent, for I am with you. And no one will lay a hand on you to harm you, for there are many in this city who are my people." Paul, Luke tells us, stayed in Corinth a year and 6 months, teaching the word of God among them. Now, when Gallio was proconsul of Achaia, the Jews made a united attack on Paul and brought him before the tribunal. They said, this man is persuading people to worship God in ways that are contrary to the law. Gallio said to the Jews, if it were a matter of crime or serious villainy, I'd be justified in accepting the complaint of you Jews. But since it's a matter of questions about words and names and your own law, you see to it yourselves. I do not wish to be a judge of these matters. And he dismissed them from the tribunal. Now we know from a letter written by Gallio's brother, Seneca, that Gallio retired before the completion of his term. So it would be reasonable to assume that he left Corinth as soon as the sailing season opened in the spring of 52 AD. So this gives us a kind of date, and we can see what Paul did before this date and after. Acts 18:18 reads, after staying there for a considerable time, Paul said farewell to the believers and sailed for Syria, accompanied by Priscilla and Aquila. So it would seem that Paul arrived in Corinth before the onset of winter in the year 50 AD and left at the same time as Gallio in the spring of 52. Now it was during this 18 months of his mission in Corinth that Timothy and Silas came down from Macedonia, and they had a letter and they had questions and they were keeping Paul informed about some of the problems that were arising in these towns, especially in Thessalonica. And so it's from Corinth that Paul wrote two letters to the community of Thessalonica. And in our next presentation, we'll begin with the first letter to the Thessalonians, verse 1, and then work our way through the correspondence that Paul writes to this small, young community of Christian believers in Thessalonica.